We're looking at the first of Jesus, a number of things he said, first do, first this, first that. And today we're looking at aligning our relationships. And so we have looked at seek first the kingdom of God, which was aligning our priorities. Last week we looked at first take the log out of your own eye. Are there any bleeding eyes here today? Where you removed the log and you're bleeding a little bit? Okay. Today we're going to look at first be reconciled to your brother, which is aligning our relationships. I want to just tell you that the subject that I covered today concerns husbands and wives, children and parents, and every other person who's breathing. Okay? So, husbands and wives, listen carefully. Children and parents, listen carefully. And if you're breathing, listen very carefully. I want to start with an illustration. A Roman emperor sought to discover humanity's original language, thinking it might be Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. What about English, eh? So he experimented by isolating a few infants. The nurses involved were sworn to absolute silence, and no one ever spoke to or spoke in the presence of the children. The babies heard not a word, not a single sound from a human voice. Tragically, within several months, they all died. A terrible result of a bizarre search for knowledge gone awry. The emperor never learned the original language of mankind, but he did prove one thing. People cannot survive without relationships. Similar experiments have been done through the ages. Tony shared one with us on Friday, and others shared. And I don't know why we never learn. We do the same things and we think we're going to get different results. And that's a problem in our lives. You do realize that, eh? In our behavior patterns, we often do the very same thing, thinking that we'll get a different result. Husband and wives have that kind of problem. You know, if I just say yes, dear, slightly differently. No, it doesn't work. All right, relationship with God and others are key to the meaning of life. They define who we are. Therefore, if we want to walk in kingdom alignment, in other words, lined up with God, with His will, with the work of His Spirit, we must discover God's will for our relationships. And yes, a very important statement. We were created for God and for each other. And that's why every generation hungers for a relational place to belong, a place to call home. That's why we'll hunt around for a church that we feel at home in. In other words, the people there are friendly. And we didn't get into a fight by the second week that we visited. So we're all looking for good relationships because we need them. Now, 21st century people seem to be facing an unprecedented loss of relational cohesion. It's a groot sentence, nee. And one of the problems is that social media has been one of the causes of relational inability person to person. Let me just give you a quick example. It happened here on the property, so I can speak from first-hand experience. At one of the tables outside, there were five youngsters sitting at the table, all with their cell phones. I went to them and I said, "What you guys doing?" "We're talking to one another." I said, "No, hang on. God gave you two ears to hear with and a mouth to speak. What do you mean you're talking to one another? I've been here for a couple of minutes. No one said anything." No, but we're talking to one another. Social media is really hurting human relationships. And some people are finding that they cannot communicate. Even married people, they have crumbled down to the practice of sending messages to one another. Are you okay? And they're sitting at the same table. Yeah, I'm okay. Who's going to say grace? Amen. Amen, yeah. Now, guys, the local church must become a healthy place where relationships can be built in a trusting, loving community. And so we're going to look at a very strong subject in the teaching of Jesus, that reconciliation precedes worship and ministry. Now, Jesus applies the law of firsts to relationships by teaching that relationships come before ministry or gifts or accomplishment. Relationships are to be first in time and value. Okay, that's a lot of words, but let's see what he means. He says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Okay, put it into today's practice. You have your envelope, church envelope, and you're about to put it in the bowl in the front or in one of the other collection points we've got, and you're about to do that, and God reminds you that you have something against somebody else, or that somebody has something against you. Now, I'm just going to change the words of Jesus. Do not leave your gift there because somebody will swipe it. Take it with you. Go to your brother or your sister, be reconciled, and only then come and offer your gift. Now, that's what Jesus is saying. So how many of you have given your gifts this end of the month and you still have unforgiveness towards other people? Don't put your hand up. So in this teaching, Jesus places friendship and relationships, reconciliation and forgiveness higher than the functioning of our gifts and offerings. In fact, he puts it higher than worship itself. Because if you're in the area of being near the gift box, you've come to worship. And he says, I don't want your worship. Go and be reconciled. And only then come, put your gift in, and worship. So what Jesus is saying, we are to leave the altar to first pursue kingdom alignment in our relationships. In other words, our relationships must line up with God's will. So if you have a pen with you, start writing on your hand and all the way down your arm, all the names of the people that you still have something against. Mother-in-law, I heard that one. yeah, is one of those everywhere. And Jesus knew that every part of our lives will only be as effective as the health of our relationships. If you are messed up inside, your relationships are poor. And if you're messed up inside, you're sick. Unforgiveness can really mess with you. I remember it was like 25 years ago, I read an article from in a magazine, a medical magazine, by some, you know, major physician who wrote something like this. It said, 80% of people can walk out of hospital if they would only learn to forgive. Unforgiveness will make you sick. And how sick do you want to be? It's your choice. And although Jesus says reconciliation precedes worship and ministry, few believers actually live like this is true. I'll prove it down the line as we go through the sermon. If we actually practice this kingdom principle, can you imagine how it would change the way ministry is done? Because people will come to church healed, whole, with no baggage. Worship will go better. All ministry will go better. And of course, we would definitely touch the heart of God, and He will touch our hearts. I want you to notice that the reason behind this teaching is that the kingdom is about heart issues. God's not interested in what we look like on the outside. He's dealing with the inside. All the plastic surgery you have on the outside will not change the inside. Not even vanishing cream. I've seen some people take vanishing cream, but they're still around. The cream doesn't work. You can't worship with a pure heart if you have a soiled conscience. So even if you go through all the actions, it's not worship. Because it doesn't go further than this. And so Jesus is saying to us that when he uses the word first, it means we must make right relationships a priority. When you have caused a problem, ask to be forgiven. And when someone has caused you a problem, forgive. There's no options in this. Now, sure, we can't control other people's choices, right? I mean, I've been married over 50 years and I still can't control Charles' choices. I never will be able to. Okay? If she chooses to give me lip, she does it. As small as she is. So, sometimes we will become aware that we have sinned against somebody or they've sinned against us. So we go to them. Now, you cannot guarantee that when you go to them, they're going to be receptive and they're going to say, oh, thank you, yes, I do forgive you or I receive your forgiveness. They might just be obnoxious. They might just say kind words like this. Who the hell do you think you are? Do you think you're the Holy One of Israel? But there's another side to this. If you go and they're unreceptive and you still forgive, that side of the coin is dealt with. You're free. They're still in captivity. Very important. Okay, what do you do if somebody has really caused you incredible harm? And you read this text and you say, no, I can't face them. I can't. I can't go into their presence. The way I am right now, I can't. That's fine. Forgive them. and keep on forgiving them until that goes away. One day down the road, there may be reconciliation. Now, okay, the person that might have hurt you very badly could have died. And so you're in a situation where you say, well, I can't talk to them. That's fine. You can still forgive them. You see, you have to free yourself up. And before God, you can just say, God, I forgive so-and-so. And maybe the Lord will go and tell him. But you need to come out of bondage. Because if you hold on to unforgiveness, you're the one who suffers in the end. So let's look at resolving relational conflict. I want to just say that only when we've examined ourselves, we can humbly confront another human being in a manner that will bring about kingdom alignment. Personal confrontation must precede all other confrontation. So you get in front of the mirror and you say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most sinful of them all? And your eyes will be opened and you will see. Clearly, even the wrinkles. And so we have to start with ourselves. Because maybe they didn't actually do something to offend us, but it's our perception. You know, simply because somebody walked past you in the church and didn't greet you doesn't mean that they don't like you or anything. Their mind can be on something else. Or maybe I've given them an order and said, get out, and they're just getting out. You know, so you've got to have flexibility in your life. Got to get away from legalism. So whether we've been wronged or we've wronged someone else, we still need to go through humble self-examination, self-confrontation, forgiveness and reconciliation with ourselves so we can build our lives upon healthy relationships. Because sometimes somebody has offended us, but we have overreacted. I mean, we've gone ballistic, we've sworn, we've screamed, we've thrown things around, we've kicked the dog, strangled the budgie, we've just gone crazy. We've got to deal with that dirt. Got to get that sorted out in our lives. And then maybe once we've done that, we look at the other person and say, you know, what they did didn't really offend me. It triggered something in me. And that's normally what happens, is the behavior of others trigger stuff that's in us that we haven't dealt with. Remember last week's teaching? First, remove the log from your own eye. It's very important. Now, just for those of you who are in this church, or may want to belong as members. In Vineyard, we believe in the practice of adult-to-adult relationships. In other words, it's not pastor is the father, the people are the kids. I had two kids, don't need any more. Okay, serious. Oh. So this is what we understand in adult relationships. In adult relationships, believers are proactive in maintaining unity and sound relationships in the church. Now, that's what I believe believers must be doing. So if you got upset by somebody this morning, sort it out. Now, not after the service. We must act immediately. That's how adults behave. Adults don't want to make room for the devil. That's adult believers. And so Jesus clearly teaches us that there are three steps involved in resolving conflict in the church. Let's have a look. Matthew 5, 23 to 24. So if you're standing before the altar in the temple offering a sacrifice to God, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Matthew 18, 15. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the fault. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Now, what we need to do is we have to get past our fears and we need to confront people eyeball to eyeball. If we want to keep relationships good, that's the way you do it. We have to bring to the light the offenses so that we can either be forgiven or we forgive, whichever it is. So let's have a look at these three steps. First one. First, the private and exclusive one-to-one to resolve any conflict that has arisen. The onus to initiate contact and to seek resolution is always on both parties. Isn't that rough, eh? Jesus just doesn't make an escape for us. He says, if your brother sinned against you, go and sort it out. If you sinned against your brother, go and sort it out. There's no escape. We can't say, but I didn't do it. He did it first. That's how children act. We don't act like that, do we? No. Oh, we do. So whether it's a case of your brother has something against you or if your brother sins against you, there should be no talk to anyone else. 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 There should be no talk to anyone else before the step is taken. Unless you're seeking the advice of a counselor. And the counselor will tell you, after giving you advice, leave your gift and go now. You see, if you take the offense and you start speaking to others, you're including them in your offense. You're messing with their minds. I mean, going to the job situation, and a woman happens to say, you know, my husband's giving me grief, and I'm really considering divorcing him. There'll be some other person there. I was going to call him something. And they'll say to this woman, yes, man, divorce him. He doesn't deserve you. But you know what? That person doesn't say, if you divorce him and you've got nowhere to stay and you've got no money and you've lost everything, I'm going to look after you. Cheap advice you don't want. Not from somebody who's twisted and led by the devil. So don't share stuff too freely. Find the right people first. Always. You know, I often joke and I say, if I want a rumor to go through the church, I've already discerned who to share it with. Now you can all be saying, is it I? Ha ha. Be careful who you share stuff with. Second step. And if the issue is not resolved, one or two others must be invited in to help mediate a resolution to the conflict. These are not people who are going to take your side. They are people who are going to mediate. Okay? They're going to try and discern who's being silly. So mediation is the process of helping the two parties to come to agreement, to be reconciled, because that's the goal. It's not who's right, who's wrong. It's reconciliation in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. Well, if that doesn't work, there's one more step. Thirdly, if this is not successful, it must be brought to the senior leadership who, on behalf of the church, arbitrate and judge the issue and decide on certain disciplines and a course of action. Now, this is different to mediation. This is arbitration. In other words, they will come to a decision and apply a discipline. And the bottom line is, we should seldom get to that stage. If we apply the first two stages, we should sort out most stuff. It's only when you come across the abomination of desolation person that you've got to go to the third side. Okay? So, forgiveness, what it is not. Forgiveness is not tolerance of evil. It's not looking the other way when sin is done or making light of wrongs. You know, it's like the Italian who has a, I hope there's no Italians here, who has a horrible anger problem. And when you talk to them about it, they say, well, I'm Italian, you know, hey. We get really into the stuff, you know. Ah, shut up, you're talking rubbish. Your heart is full of rot. Jesus doesn't intend you to live that way, Italian or not. He wants you healed. So, on the contrary, true forgiveness means there'll be a genuine measure of tolerance towards others, weaknesses, and imperfections, but sin will and must be confronted. We have to do that. Now, forgiveness is not just forgetting and pretending the hurt didn't happen. It's not making excuses for another person's behavior. It brings the hurt into the light so that it can be healed. Got it? Forgiveness is not tolerance of evil. Forgiveness is not just forgetting and pretending that the hurt did not happen. The cost of forgiveness. Our responsibility is to build relationships, and if they damage, to know how to repair them, restoring them to perfect health. And one of our first steps in the Christian life should be towards reconciling with those we have anything against. So as a Christian, one of the little things we need to do before God is search our hearts to find out if there are any people we're holding grudges against, that we settle that, that we forgive, that we be reconciled. And forgiveness really is costly. It requires love in action, which is what one person says, it's the currency of heaven. And of course, we probably all have learned through personal experience that reconciliation is hard work. It's emotionally, mentally, and spiritually trying. But it's usually possible. With God's help, we can do anything. There's a verse in Scripture that I came across many, many, many years ago when I was teaching on the same kind of subject. And I just thought, you, God, this is rough. Proverbs 18:19. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Hey? Yeah, you've got a fortified city. centurion with walls around it, cannons and rockets and everything, you know, protecting the city. It's easier to win the city than to bring back a friend who's offended. Yeah, brothers and sisters. Cook sisters. If reconciliation is a harder battle to win than conquering a strong city, it's no wonder that we usually put off confrontation, ultimately forgetting about them in the hope that they will simply disappear forever and ever. Now, as the church, the family of God, our goal is to help people build new relationships. Church is structured for people to make new relationships, restore old relationships, renew some neglected relationships, and commit to cultivating authentic relationships. So David runs marriage enrichment, which helps those who have neglected relationships to recultivate their relationships. We do all manner of stuff to try and help people get relationships right. And we earnestly believe that every home should create an atmosphere where love, acceptance, and connection with people flows naturally. Where husband and wife are forgiving, parents and children are forgiving, children towards their parents are forgiving, and even the budgie is forgiven. And the cat that pees on your pillow. Right. And so I've put a line there that I'd like us to just kind of think about. We need to be forgiveness practitioners. Each one of us. Now, my personal testimony on this subject, I could go on for hours and hours about issues and stuff like that, but if I had not learned to practice forgiveness towards those offended me, who have offended me, and if I had not learned to ask forgiveness from those I have offended, I would not be behind this pulpit today. I can guarantee you that. I've had to forgive people who try to split this congregation. Often I have to forgive people who oppose my leadership. I didn't put myself here. God put me here. I'm not going to defend anything. God put me here. He'll take me away. That's great. And if you have a problem with it, it's your problem, cousin. Get over it. Grow up. Sadly, I've even had to fire a pastor who refused to repent of this kind of behavior. Just in case you're thinking, yes, I did forgive him. He's still alive. Okay. I've had to forgive people who caused division and disruption in ministry teams and in church membership. I've had to forgive people who've caused our name as a church to be questioned by their behavior. Forgiveness is something you live with every single day. And of course, when people have come up to me and said, hey, you offended me, you've sinned against me, I ask for forgiveness. Because the one thing I do know, I'm not perfect. And so I know it's a two-way street. And I've been a Christian for over 60 years, and I want to tell you this forgiveness thing is real. And it's almost a daily thing because we mess up. Just turn to somebody and say, you mess up. It's just a matter of fact, you know. Okay. Relevant scriptures. I just want to knock on a number of them. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. That's in the Lord's Prayer, right? And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Bottom line, God doesn't mess with terms. You forgive, I forgive. You don't forgive, I don't forgive. Scary, eh? Mark 11:25, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You can't escape this. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, saith the Lord, doth. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, we need to note that bad feelings between believers hinders worship because, first of all, worship is unacceptable to God unless a person is reconciled to his brothers and sisters. You cannot put your hands up and think God accepts your worship if you're at loggerheads with another brother or sister. Like I say, your worship just goes this high, brain level. Secondly, worship is also meaningless unless a person is right with his brother or sister. Reconciliation must always precede worship. So if you come to church next Sunday, and as you get to the door, you remember, I've just had a real moan with my husband or my father or mother. You walk out, get in your car, go make it right, and then come. And if you get your after 9:30, you won't get in. You know, there's some people who stay away from worship because they have something against a brother or sister. Yeah, worship team, can you come up? And the point that Jesus is saying in these key verses is very clear. Get right with your brother and get into worship. Remember, two wrongs don't make a right. I've never been able to get two wrongs to equal right. Have you? No. And so reconciliation must be attempted immediately. Now, some people leave churches because of interpersonal conflict. So they leave another church and they come to this church. And they think they can just walk into the presence of God. Hallelujah! Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah! It's empty. It's unacceptable to God. You might be think you're worshiping, but it's not acceptable to God. He's waiting for you to be reconciled to the people whom you harbor grudges against. And your worship is never acceptable until you do that. That's tough, eh? Yo. You can't hide behind Christian songs. God wants unforgiveness to be dealt with. Now look at these sayings. This is one commentator brilliantly put. Forgiveness can restore the present, heal the future, and release the past. Oh, we all want that, don't we? More than ice cream, this is what we want. Forgiveness can bring healing and reconciliation to all who are involved. That means it becomes a happy party, which is great. Forgiveness can bring release to ministries and deliverance to twisted personalities so that they become whole again. Because some people are slightly twisted. in their thinking. So we end with noting again what Jesus said. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And I want to end with these words, noting that Jesus wants us to do the following. First, above all else, first in time, first in importance, we are to make up our mind that we will make the first move in repairing relationships and be a true reconciler of the brethren and the sisters. Let's stand. We're going to sing a song. During the song, you've got time to speak to God and to not just sing the song if you have anything against anyone. Forgive them and then sing the song. And then if you've gone through a traumatic scene in relationships, we ask you to come forward. Let us pray for you. For God to give you the strength to forgive, the strength to face the people, the strength to be reconciled, whatever you need. And some of you are sick and you could walk away out of this place today because you forgave. Let's sing.